Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the philosophy department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, it is sort of philosophy. It's a list of wonderful little things that people have said, sent to us by a guy named Jerry Conley from Fargo, North Dakota. And some of them are quite philosophical.
I mean, the ones that aren't lousy.
Here's one. Steven Seagal.
The movie star.
The karate guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what he said. Instead of getting married again, I'm going to find a woman I don't like and just give her a house. This one, Dave Barry. If a woman has to choose between catching a fly ball and saving an infant's life, she will choose to save the infant's life without even considering if there's a man on base. It tells you the difference between men and women, and there are some differences.
That does put up one of the primary differences. Yeah.
My mom said she learned how to swim when someone took her out in the lake and threw her off the boat. I said, Mom, they weren't trying to teach you how to swim. Conan O'Brien, whom I have never found funny. Do you watch Conan O'Brien?
No, I can't stay up that late. By Geneva Convention.
That's your nap time. Then you wake up at 2 and watch QVC.
Right, exactly. Watch the vacuum cleaner ads at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I mean, I've never had any empathy for Conan O'Brien.
No connection.
I've never smiled at a single thing he said. And here's something he said that's good. A study in the Washington Post says that women have better verbal skills than men. I just want to say to the authors of that study, duh. Richard Jenny, I think that that's how Chicago got started. A bunch of people in New York said, gee, I'm enjoying the crime and the poverty, but it just isn't cold enough. Let's go west. I love it. Let's go west. That's it.
Well, they were pretty good.
They are very good.
Well, look, if you're looking for some pearls of wisdom regarding your car, I mean, from us, you're not going to find
them
here. But we'll be glad to just shoot the breeze with you. So if you want, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Victoria in Eugene, Oregon.
Hi, Victoria.
Hi. And Eugene.
Yes, beautiful Eugene.
I've never been to Eugene, Oregon. It really is nice.
It is. It's picturesque. It's a little more rain than most people who are not ducks can put up with.
Yeah, how many days a year?
Like 8 months. Okay, so 8 times 30. A lot.
That's a lot. Two-thirds of the year.
But I'm from New York City originally, and I'll tell you, this is a lot more user-friendly because we don't have as much wind.
Oh, so you were already depressed when you moved out there.
That's right.
Yeah. Cool. So what can we do for you?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't yet have a car problem. I'm trying to avoid it with your expert advice.
Oh, great.
I am the mother of 3 students in college, and I myself am returning to college this next month. So, therefore, we're talking about a very low cash flow situation, all right?
Yeah. You're returning to college yourself.
It's high cash flow all out.
Yeah, that's right. You got it.
Yeah.
So what I'm thinking of is, what kind of cars, one after the other, can I be helping out with around $2,000?
Oh, so you want to buy a fleet of these things?
That's right.
So you're going to buy 4 cars at $2,000 a piece?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't think I'm going to get package price, but, you know, probably one at a time. You got it.
And how far does each of you drive?
Oh, not terribly far. The boys live in California, and sometimes to get to work, you know, they have very long drives. They might have to go to San Francisco, and they live south of Santa Cruz.
So how many of those are there?
We'll start at 1. They can work together.
Oh, they go to school together.
Yes, they do. They even live together.
Oh, so boy 1 and boy 2 could have the same car?
That's right.
Do boy 1 and boy 2 look alike?
They do.
Jeez, Why are you paying 2 tuitions?
Exactly. Maybe they can get by with 1 tuition. One can go to class
ridiculous.
One day.
Of course. Just one of them signs up.
You got it.
Yeah.
And it's half duty for everybody.
Jeez, why didn't I think of that?
Well, and when they finally graduate,
yeah,
they'll each have half a job.
Yeah.
So you're looking for cheap cars that and have, obviously, a lot of miles on them because that's what's going to make them cheap.
Right.
And are going to be reliable and relatively safe.
That, you got it.
Got it. I've got my choice. I've got my hand covering up the name of the car because I'm going to reveal it to my brother. He's going to do the same with his.
Wait, I'm not finished asking questions. What about the girl?
Oh, she's wonderful. Anything else? I taught her to drive. What could I say?
And how what does she do?
How far is she going to be driving?
I don't know yet because she hasn't really figured on the college.
Well, my recommendation is the same for all of them, and you too.
Okay.
Really?
I wrote down that the kids especially should all have old Volvos.
Okay.
You think so?
Yeah. Volvos from like the 80s.
Yeah. They got to have 240s.
Oh, well, I don't know if those will pass the smog emissions in California.
Oh, sure.
Kids, we can get your phony stickers. Don't worry about that. Go to our website.
Yeah, you can just download it and stick it right on the window.
You have a printer? Have a color printer?
Yeah, we do this all the time. It's one of the services that we do.
No,
you go to cartalk.com and search for fraud.
No, they'll get stickers. Those cars are remarkably clean.
Uh-huh.
And assuming they're running correctly, they'll pass any smog test.
Uh-huh.
You know, but for a couple of $1,000, you can get yourself a pretty decent Volvo, which of that vintage are not terribly expensive to fix.
Okay.
And they're pretty reliable. They're not bad.
Right. Oh, they have a great reputation.
And they're safe.
Yes.
Hey, anyway, what are you going to back to college for?
I'm going for my business degree.
Really?
I've been an artist. I have several major careers. But the reality is if I'm going to finish paying for all of these colleges,
I have got a real job.
A business degree, right, and a real job that's going to pump it up. And
see, I see you as a boutique owner.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
See, I mean,
I see beads in your future. Yeah, I don't know
why. Are
they
hanging down
the
doorway?
Yeah, exactly.
Baubles and beads.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I have to say that if your background and your love is art, then a business degree is the worst thing you can do. I mean, sure, you might be able to make some money at it, but when you add up the amount of money that you would have made in something that you love versus something that you really don't care about except for the money, then you'll be sorry that you did that. I would reconsider if I were you.
Yeah, I'd consider the boutique.
Oh, I've been in business for myself for many. I've been in construction and I've been in building.
Oh, you've never tried a boutique. Have you ever tried forged masterpieces?
How about
the market?
There's forged inspection stickers.
I've been an art dealer. Absolutely. Yeah, no. I just, you know, I figure at this point, actually, I don't want to be in business for myself anymore. There is a lot of stress.
There is indeed. There is indeed. And going to school is nice because you can sleep in class. Victoria, good luck to you. It's been a pleasure.
Reconsider the business degree. It's extraordinarily boring.
Well, I appreciate your heartfelt thoughts, and I always reconsider. I haven't paid up my money yet.
And don't forget, you have to spend all day with people who also have business degrees, and there's no one more boring than that. Think about it.
Yeah. After a month, you'll be ready to gnaw your own leg off. See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dan calling from Petoskey, Michigan, in northern Michigan.
Petoskey?
Petoskey, home of the famous Petoskey Stone.
Oh, yeah, the Petoskey Stone.
It's the state stone of Michigan. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
No.
And what kind of a stone is it? Is it like a semi-precious?
Semi-precious, I suppose. Yeah, you can find them on the beaches sometimes, but they sell them mostly at the tourist shops.
Oh, okay.
Oh, those wackos from the east.
So what's going on, Dan?
Well, I have a 95 Toyota DLX pickup truck that I bought used this past summer. It's a 4-cylinder manual transmission, and it's been a great truck, but lately it's been giving me a problem with the accelerator. It's been sticking, and it's been idling really high and getting really bad gas mileage. And I took it into a shop. They thought that it was the cruise control. It has an aftermarket cruise control, which they disconnected.
Good.
And they also charged me about $150 to clean out the fuel injectors. Mm-hmm. Since then, though, it's been idling high continually. The gas mileage has gone into the toilet. It's getting about 14 miles to the gallon now. And when I pull up to a stop and I put it in neutral, it's doing this sort of funny lugging thing where it goes down and it goes.
I know exactly what it is.
Exactly. Yeah. How did you know that?
I used to own a 95 Toyota. this is a classic case, Dan, of. This is a classic case. Give me some hints. This is a classic case of an engine which is either running too cool because the thermostat is stuck open.
Mm-hmm.
You might be able to corroborate this by saying, gee, I noticed that my heat isn't working so well of late, although you might not know that. It might be working.
You didn't jump right in there.
And say, yeah, right.
But heat is working.
Well, yeah, it is. But I listened to a show a couple of weeks ago where you were talking about choke pull-offs and associated problems. And
yeah,
I thought,
we don't have a choke pull-off.
That was bogus.
Okay.
But you could have one of several things. Did anyone flush the cooling system recently?
No, not to my knowledge.
You should have flushed it.
Okay.
No, you could have a thermostat that's broken, and that means that if the thermostat doesn't go to the closed position, it never, because it doesn't stay closed, it doesn't allow the engine to warm up. So the engine is always operating in the warm-up mode,
mm-hmm.
which will make the thing run very rich and will also make it surge like this. Now, it's possible that if the thermostat is working correctly, and that's easy to verify by putting a thermometer in the radiator and seeing if it goes up to 180 or more degrees, it's possible that the coolant temperature sensor is faulty.
I like the sensor.
And that would, although I don't think I've ever replaced one on a Toyota.
Well, you would if you lived in Petoskey, Michigan. You'd be doing it tomorrow.
Let's try this. Do you have a temperature gauge in the dash?
I do, and it seems to be working fine.
Is it in the middle?
Yes.
All right, then it's the sensor.
It's definitely the sensor.
The coolant temperature sensor.
Yep.
Okay.
You can take that to the bank.
Hey, send us a couple of Petoskey stones when
you've
got nothing
else
to do.
Thanks very much for your help.
See you, Dan.
See you, Dan.
Have a good day.
Thanks for calling.
You too. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Christine, and I'm calling from close by.
Close by?
You mean like the next building?
I can see you. No. This is why I don't want you to know where I live.
All right. We're sensitive to your needs.
Okay.
The keys are stuck in the ignition of my car.
Uh-huh.
And, well, that's not so much of a problem now. I'm used to it, and I don't have to look for the keys anymore. But now the car won't start. And I'm wondering, has it somehow drained the battery being in there, like just very slowly?
Well, what does it do now when you turn the key?
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all.
This a Japanese car?
No, it's a Blazer.
Blazer. I mean, you're sure you're turning it to the off position?
Yes. When I double check everything to make sure everything is
I mean,
you
know,
off.
The way people usually know that it's in the off position is that the key comes out of the ignition switch. But you don't have that way of testing it.
No.
And so it would be possible to you for you to leave it in something other than.
Like the accessory position,
but you're
savvy enough, I believe, Christine, to know.
How many positions does it have? Let's see how good she is at this.
I think it has about four if you include the back going toward you.
So that's the accessory position backwards, counterclockwise, and then off.
And then off.
Then run.
Yeah.
And then start.
Right.
Well, you're good, Christine.
Well, you know it.
You win the tap and range.
Kyle Castle is going to put his message on your answering machine. So you know that you've left it in the off position.
Yes.
Yeah, I think.
You didn't notice anything. There were no lights on the dashboard that you've been disregarding?
Well, there is would it be called the gear indicator, like when I put it in park or drive?
Yeah.
It remains glowing. But it's no longer glowing.
It remains glowing with the key in the off position?
With the key in the off position.
Well, that'll kill your battery, Christine.
I know it did, but it took so long.
Duh!
Does this cost a lot of money to fix?
Well, you're probably going to need a new ignition lock. That is the thing that the key goes into.
Uh-huh.
I doubt there's anything wrong with the switch.
Okay.
But the lock is faulty, and for whatever reason...
It's glowing.
It's glowing.
Nothing else is glowing, though.
That you know of.
Just me.
Yeah, I suspect that the reason the key won't come out is that you're not really going to the off position on the switch.
Yeah. I'll bet you that for a few days before the car wouldn't start, you didn't drive very far.
I don't drive at all.
Oh, so you leave it for days at a time.
Yeah.
No, that'll do it.
That'll do it.
A small drain, yep, like the one you described, is enough to kill your battery after two or three or four days.
Okay.
So you're going to have to take it to the repair shop.
Well, I took it to someone, and they laughed at me.
Why?
People up the street. I don't know, and they laugh at me every time I get gas.
Is it the way you dress?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, you got a problem.
How old a blazer is this?
I want to say it's a 96. My sister gave it to me.
Oh, I think you should take it to the Chevrolet dealer. They won't laugh.
They never
laugh when they're taking money from you.
Okay.
Good luck, Christine.
Bye-bye.
Hi. All right, look, do you happen to remember last week's puzzler?
Yeah. No, I don't remember it.
I didn't think so. Well, I'm going to give you a hint. I'm going to give you three letters.
Go ahead.
GPS.
GPS.
Yeah, what do those letters signify?
Gee, that puzzler stinks. Is that it?
Well,
I get it.
You're pretty close. No, it means global positioning system. It was about a GPS unit that seemed to be malfunctioning.
Oh.
We'll be back with the whole story and the answer, and of course, more car questions in just a minute, so don't go away.
On the road in the morning, and we've got a ways to go. Your dashboard light shines out a warning. I promise, baby, to take it slow. Carnaline, you're the best there's ever been. I spent $2.50 on a vanilla Rama tree. Carnaline, you need some gasoline. Though you hiss and spit, won't you take a sip for me?
And even though hibernating bears wake up and swat at their radios whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Hey, if you find yourself thinking, you know, this show gets worse every time I hear it, why not check out some classic shows from our archives, like when we used to be good?
When was that?
It's just a figure of speech, you know?
You can download any show from the Car Talk archives at cartalk.com. Just click where it says, listen to the show.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. This came in from a fellow named John Robertson, I believe.
I remember him very well.
Yeah, sure. I've always been a gadget nut, he writes, and when the first portable GPS units hit the market in early 2000, I had to have one. Since then, I've upgraded 5 or 6 times. We travel a lot in our RV, and it is perfect for exploring new and exciting lands, and I never have to hear my wife nagging me to ask for directions. I have never experienced any mechanical or technical problems with any of the units until now. After returning from a trip and resting for a week, we headed out on a new adventure. When I went to reset the trip information on the GPS, I discovered what I believe to be a major problem. The GPS was telling me, get this, I had driven some 28 hours on the last trip. My maximum speed was 72 miles an hour.
Yeah.
But my average speed was 159 mph. I was sure the unit had lost its brains. I know a little bit about math, and no, you cannot have an average speed that's greater than the maximum speed.
Yeah.
It just didn't make any sense. I reset the unit, contacted the manufacturer, ran all the diagnostics and all that stuff, and after I dropped it a few times and was picking up the pieces, I determined the reason for the calculations, and indeed, there was no error.
Wow.
How could this be?
Wow.
You ready?
Yeah.
Well, my wife and I recently celebrated our 10th anniversary, and before we left, we programmed all of the sites and the restaurants and all that and other scenic points of interest into the GPS so we could maximize our enjoyment.
Yeah.
During our 2 weeks that we were gone, the GPS logged a driving time of 28 hours and a maximum speed at 72 miles an hour. So far, so good, right?
Yeah.
Well, here's what happened next. We then jumped on a plane.
Oh.
Okay. And flew home from Hawaii to Alabama. Okay, which is 4,000 miles. Of course, on the flight, the GPS was in my suitcase and turned off. But when it was turned back on, it realized that it had traveled some 4,000 miles. Thus, the computations were correct. A total of 4,452 miles for an average speed of 159 miles an hour. Pretty cute, eh?
Not bad.
Who's our winner?
Ha! The winner this week is Dean Wilson from Navasota, Texas. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Dean's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which Dean can get a copy of our latest CD collection called Field Guide to the North American Wackle.
We do seem to be ground zero for people who are slightly off their rockers, don't we?
Well, actually, the CD title was referring to our callers. But can I argue with that? No.
Okay. Anyway, we'll have a brand new, I have to say, full of intrigue.
Poison glasses?
Better.
Is it the one we discussed?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, full of intrigue. Ooh. Puzzler coming up in the third
half. I don't
half
even
of
know
the
what
show.
The puzzler is about, but I just want to hear the. I just want to hear the
that
words.
One line.
So no, two lines.
So sit back, take your shoes off, stay a while. Right now, if you have a question about your car, you can give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK, which is also 888-CAR-U-ALL.
No kidding.
Yes, for our Southern listeners.
Car-U-ALL.
Car-U-ALL.
U-ALL.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Amy from San Diego.
Hi, Amy from San Diego.
Amy, how are you?
That's a traditional spelling, three letters?
Traditional spelling.
Okay.
Plain Jane.
I thought you said it was Amy.
Plain Amy.
Plain Amy.
What's up, kid?
Well, I have a 1999 Isuzu Rodeo, and when it gets very, very cold here in the mornings, as it does in Southern California.
Oh, you mean like 65?
It gets as low as the mid-30s.
It does?
It does, at night.
Oh, suck it up, will you? Pardon us if we're not sympathetic.
I know, okay. I know. It's hard to sympathize with the paradise land we live in. But
yeah, well,
sure, rub it in some more. Go ahead. See if you've got a right answer.
Well, that's where Simon and Simon did all their work. San Diego. And yes, it was always sunny and warm.
It always is.
And that's all my knowledge about San Diego comes from watching Simon and Simon.
Simon and Simon. That's good research.
Yeah, well, I do my, hey, you got to do your homework, you know?
Absolutely.
So what's the question?
So the question is, when it's very cold in the morning and my car's a manual, like a stick shift.
Yeah.
When I'm accelerating, mostly in first, second, and third gear, it makes this noise. And it comes at a regular interval, but the noise is not the same. It goes, so it kind of goes at the same interval, but it's not a constant same noise. It has a little tune to it.
Really?
Yeah.
And this happens as you're accelerating.
Mm-hmm.
Does it happen faster as you go faster?
Yes, absolutely. And it sounds kind of just like a little quiet cat in my car.
Huh.
There's no cats in it.
Well, not anymore, probably. So it
well,
now,
it's been nice talking to you, Amy. where's it coming from? That's what you called us for, isn't it?
But you can't hear the noise unless you're moving.
Right, right. It doesn't happen when I'm idling.
Well, have you tried revving it?
I haven't tried revving it. I thought that was bad when your car's cold.
Well, it
no,
is.
It
but
is.
Unless you're doing research, like I do.
Okay.
This is, think of Simon and Simon.
If you called Simon and Simon, maybe they can come by the house and give it a listen.
Maybe they can help me.
That was a great show.
It was.
Yeah. It's on in repeats here in Boston at 4 a.m. I happen to know that.
So it makes the noise as you're accelerating, but you don't know if it's related to the engine specifically or the drivetrain because you haven't done this experiment.
And it goes
away?
Is there
a chance that the noise is not coming from the front of the vehicle but the back?
Good question.
Ooh, it sounds like it's coming from in front of me.
Bad answer. All right.
And again, it only happens like in those first three gears. And by the time I get to fourth gear and I'm just coasting and not really accelerating, I don't so much hear it. And by the time the car's warm, when I get on the freeway, I don't hear it at all.
So are you with the car now? I mean, is the car readily accessible to you?
It's outside. It's parked outside.
Here's what you do. Put the phone down. Go outside.
Yeah.
And start the thing up and rev. Don't move the vehicle, but rev the engine.
Just a little bit.
As if you were driving it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in fact, you can make believe you're driving. Put your foot on the clutch. Leave it in neutral. Put your foot on the clutch. Give it some gas. Take your foot off the clutch and see if it makes any noise. We'll wait.
You'll wait?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll take another call.
Okay.
In the meantime.
But
so,
we won't cut you off.
Okay.
Yet.
We'll put you on hold.
All right.
Only if I have the wrong answer when I come back.
So you're on hold, and we'll be thinking about this while you're doing your little experiment.
Yeah, we'll get some subliminal things going here.
Okay.
All right. We'll take another call.
I'll be right back.
Let us know.
All right, Amy. Cut her off, Louis.
Oh, we lost Amy? What a shame. What the heck was that?
I don't know. She's gonna give us all the information we need.
I'm going to tell you, it isn't going to do it.
I mean, I hate to go back to the old loose heat shield.
Choke pull off.
Yeah. You may be your
all right, well, let's take a call.
All right, 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Charles from Albany, New York.
Hi, Charles.
Charles, Albany.
Yes, yeah. you're a friendly neighbor to the west.
That's famous for something, isn't it? Like being the capital?
Yes.
I think it is, yeah.
It's a strange place to have a capital, isn't it? It's sort of like they said, well, we got to do something for those guys up north.
They can do nothing but complain. They're freezing their butts off. All right, let's put the state capital up there.
Yeah.
That ought to shut them up for a few centuries.
That ought to keep anyone with any brains from running for office.
That's a pretty nice part of the world.
No, it is. I've been there a few times. It's not bad. So what's up, Charles?
I've got a 1992 Jeep Cherokee that suffers from a sagging brake pedal.
Mm.
And I'm wearing out my left shoe.
Pulling it back, the top of your left shoe.
The top of the shoe.
When I asked my friends at the garage, what would this really cost to replace it? They mumbled something about the vacuum something or other.
The vacuum booster.
And it would cost $1,000.
Get out.
No.
Well, I'm cheap. So what I did is I went out and I bought $3 worth of bungee cords.
I was going to say, you can buy a lot of rope for $1,000. Yeah.
I hooked the bungee cord around the brake cable and around the steering wheel post, and it seems to work fine. But the question is there anything bad going on because of this?
Well, leaving it down, there is something bad going on,
but
if you pull on the rope, theoretically, there is nothing wrong with that. But we have to go back to the original issue of if it really is the booster. When you step on the brake, do the brakes work fine?
Wonderful.
Then I'd say the rope is great.
just my brother's kind of solution. What I don't like about the bungee cord is that eventually, as the problem worsens, you're going to have to add a second bungee cord.
I got two on there now.
You got two on there.
And
see?
I was going to say, when the bungee cord breaks and come back and hit you in the head, you're not going to like that either.
Yeah, that could be disastrous.
But the presence of the bungee cord requires additional effort on your part to stop the vehicle. Because
sure.
You have to overcome not only the normal forces inherent in stopping it, that you know there's a brake return spring and the mechanism and all that, but now you have to overcome the tension of the bungee cord.
Oh, yeah.
Now that you only have two cords on there, it's not so bad. When you're up to like 8 or 9 bungee cords, you have a problem.
Well, that's why I like the idea of the rope.
The rope.
See, the rope doesn't introduce any more force necessary to apply the brake.
Oh, so you pull up on the rope?
You pull up on the rope.
It saves the shoes.
Saves the shoes.
So if you just lift up on this thing with your foot one time.
Right.
It's okay until the next time you step on the pedal?
That's correct.
Sure.
Well, I think I don't think it's the booster, number one.
I don't think so either.
I think it's more likely to be the pedal mechanism itself.
They did check the spring, obviously.
Well, you know, I asked that question and I thought so, but they went to the expensive route or something.
Yeah, see, I think that they may be...
Take it easy now.
All right. They may... They may have misunderstood your problem like I did for a while.
I thought
that this required continual pressure upwards with your left toe.
Nope.
So that while you were driving, the pedal...
It wanted to be sucked down.
Right. And that would be attributable to the booster. But I think they've misunderstood you. If you pull this thing up with your toe...
It stays there.
Or with the bungee cord, and it stays there. I don't think it's the booster. I think you just need a brake return spring.
In fact, I mean, if you just stick your head under the dashboard there...
Like my brother likes to do.
You'll see the spring.
Ah, okay.
Well, maybe you won't.
And if you don't, that's exactly what you need.
Right. But you don't see, you need.
Because it's right there, and it's attached to the brake pedal and to something up top there.
Yeah, I would take it, if not to these guys, to someone else. If you can't find the spring, take it to someone who can, who knows where it should be. Or better than that, if you see someone in a parking lot with the same vehicle, ask if you can crawl under their dashboard. They may think you're a weirdo, but don't worry.
Okay.
See you, Charles.
I wish you the very best.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Take care.
You too.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
For your call. Bye-bye.
All right. Is Amy still on the line?
Still here.
Hey, Amy.
God. Hi.
So, you went out?
You tried to get rid of me.
No, Amy.
We tried.
Yes, we did. So, you went out. You started it up. You put your foot on the clutch. You raised your foot off the clutch as you were giving it gas like you were driving.
I'm guessing
that nothing happened.
Nothing happened. It's warm today.
Ah, it's warm.
So even like when I just started up, the thermometer little gauge is already in the middle. It's already so warm today.
I have a thought.
Oh, good.
Let's hear it.
All the time that this is happening, you're driving along.
Mm-hmm.
And you're steering.
Yes.
Ah, Tommy thinks the problem is coming from the power steering. Could the noise be coming from inside the passenger compartment?
Sure.
Could it be like right there at the steering wheel?
I don't think it's right under my hands, but it could be down the column.
Yeah.
A bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
We often see this in the cold, frozen north where we live,
the tundra area.
That the plastic that is around the steering column—it's
the right kind of sound.
Will make that same kind of, but it requires that you turn the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Which you are often doing, but
doesn't explain speeding up when she speeds up.
Doesn't explain that.
Unless when you speed up, you do more steering.
That could be.
Well, here's the test.
Do you do a lot of turns and things when you first start out, the first 10 minutes of driving?
Not so many, but I like the road is kind of uneven, so and no one is ever coming in the other direction, so I kind of go around the bumps and stuff.
I'm not making 90 degree turns,
but I'm making little adjustments.
Adjustments.
Right, and if you do those little adjustments until the passenger compartment warms up, you can get these little...
That's exactly the...
As brilliant as this idea was, I don't like it.
Oh, no.
Well, I don't like it because you said as you go faster, it will go...
But it never gets to where it's like constant or...
Well, here was my feeling, that you have a ball joint or a tie rod end that needs lubrication, and it can make exactly that kind of noise, and it will be more pronounced when it's cold, and it will go away when the thing is driven and it warms up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But in either case... You should be able to, the next cold morning, whenever that happens to be.
Tomorrow.
You should be able to get into this thing early in the morning. In fact, here's what you do. Set your alarm clock for 4 a.m.
Ah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So tomorrow you're going to get up at 4 a.m. and you're going to run out and you're going to start the thing up.
And you're not going to drive.
But you're going to turn the wheel back and forth.
Okay.
And you're going to hear the noise.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm betting on that.
And that will tell us that it's either coming from the steering column, which is inside the passenger compartment, or from one of the steering components,
mm-hmm.
which is more serious and needs to be addressed.
Oh.
But then you can leave it someplace and have them check the front end.
Okay.
But we would love to know if, in fact, what we just said is going to happen.
I'll let you know.
I'm sure you will.
We'll keep you on hold. 4 a.m. there will be 7 a.m. here. Maybe give you my brother's number.
Good luck, Amy.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
We may have bailed out of that one. Wow.
Tommy, a thought. That's all it takes, see? You can do that every week.
I can? It hurts so much, though.
You try harder.
Did you see all that smoke?
Okay, look, we need to take a little break.
We do? Why? You tired?
No, I'm not tired.
Having a little flare-up?
No, no flare-up.
You need time to obfuscate the new puzzler?
Bingo!
All right, we'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute, or as soon as my brother makes an unintelligible mess of it.
I've got a car that's always stuck in the last gear. It starts and it goes if you leave it alone, but you can't steer. Taking it out for a Sunday drive on the back roads, and it waits till I'm far away from home and the sun is getting low. And wouldn't you know it, she's breaking down again, pulling her over onto the shoulder.
And even though the host of Antiques Roadshow heaves Martha Washington's chamber pot at his radio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
Ha, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler. And as I promised, this was full of intrigues.
I have to say, if you're listening at home and you have a tape player, put it on record right now, because these first few
better still, send us $20. We'll send you the whole show.
You're gonna love this.
Well, this came from Tom Klimala from cyberspace.
Yeah,
and that's all we know about him.
It's in Wisconsin,
and you have to set the scene. Okay,
go ahead.
Location. An RAF airfield north of London. Scene. A dimly lit Quonset hut filled with air crews just returned from bombing runs over Germany.
A dimly lit Quonset hut. Can you see it, man?
It gets better.
Dimly lit Quonset hut.
The meeting opens with the chaplain leading the men in prayer for their lost comrades.
Yeah.
He is followed by the flight operations exec, who begins the debriefing by asking the airmen, from what direction were you attacked by the German fighter planes? Without hesitation or dissent, the reply was, from above and behind.
Back and to the left.
Back to the left. The FOE, that is the flight operations exec, hastily scribbles the information on the back of top secret maps, hands it to a junior officer with the instructions, get this information to the departing air crews. It may save their lives.
Wow.
As the officer turns to leave, from the inky shadows, a hand grasps his arm.
The inky shadows of the dimly lit Quonset.
And he hears...
Inky shadows of the dimly... Is this poetry or what?
This was a nice, short, two-minute puzzler.
Oh, man, I love it.
And my brother has turned it into War and Peace.
I give my right arm to be able to write like that.
Anyway, as the officer turns to leave, from the inky shadows, a hand grasps his arm, and he hears these words, hold that order. The information you're about to give will lose lives rather than save them.
This, of course, comes from the inky. What is it?
The inky shadows.
Inky shadows.
What did the guy in the inky shadow? What did the guy from the inky shadows know that the FOE didn't? And you have all the information.
I don't care. I didn't even hear the question.
A dimly lit Quonset hut. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or on the back of two first-class tickets to the Isle of Lanai, Hawaii, along with a two-week prepaid reservation at the Manelli Bay Resort, Presidential Suite Preferred. But any oceanfront suite will do. Include the four-wheel drive Volcano Exploration Tour and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
And if you have a car question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Melissa from Richmond, Virginia.
What's up with you, Melissa?
Well, I was driving on New Year's Eve to Blacksburg, and it's a three-hour drive from Richmond, and it was late at night. I didn't have time to dry my clothes, so I brought the wet ones with me, and I had the brilliant idea of, while I was driving, turning the defroster on high and the heat on high and then laying my clothes up there. And I dried a pair
on the dashboard?
On the dashboard, right.
I love it.
And I dried a pair of overalls, two sweaters, a couple skirts, and a shirt in 3 hours. And I was so proud of myself. I was like, all right, I've got this all figured out. And the next morning when I tried to use my defroster or heater, it was broken. The fan burned out.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Well,
yeah.
I'm not surprised, I have to say.
No, I'm surprised. What is this, an old car? What is this thing?
No, it's a 97 Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Let me get this straight. When you laid these sweaters on the dashboard, did you cover up all the possible openings?
No, I was careful just to cover one vent, and I left the other vent open. But I covered the one right in front of the steering wheel. And is the fan under there, perhaps?
No.
No, the fan is actually on the other side, but it wouldn't make any difference because the fan housing is open to both of those vents.
Huh.
And so, I mean, I was, when I said I wasn't surprised, it was because I thought you had covered up everything and therefore the air had no place to go.
No, I've got a little common sense. So, no, I didn't cover both of them.
Oh, so Tommy was thinking that by restricting the flow of air, you overheated the fan motor and burned it out. But you didn't do that, did you, Melissa?
Well, I didn't think I did, but I did touch the radio buttons about 2 hours into the trip, and they felt very hot.
They felt very hot.
And I thought, I'm going to burn out my fan, but no, I'll keep doing it anyways.
Yeah, well, you did burn out the fan.
So that's...
I'm just wondering why.
Is it a faulty Jeep that you should be able to cover one of the vents?
Well, I mean, did you get the dryer option when you bought it?
I don't know. The manual.
I don't know if the Jeep company has ever considered this as a possibility.
Is it covered in the owner's manual?
Yeah, did you look in the owner's manual under drying?
I didn't check it. Should I call the manufacturer and complain?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what happened because clearly you burned out the motor.
Uh-huh.
And yes, the fact that the buttons on the radio were hot, the fan is behind there somewhere.
But none of the speeds work now?
No, none of them. It will very slowly ooze out heat.
Oh, you may have just blown a fuse.
Well, I checked all the fuses.
If it isn't the fuse,
mm-hmm. It's the motor.
Then it's undoubtedly the motor, and you may be able to get it to spring to action by giving it a few gentle taps. Like with a brick or something.
With a brick?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if it really got that hot,
mm-hmm.
That would mean it would be sucking a lot of amps, and it probably would have blown the fuse.
Okay.
Or it could have just burned itself out. And I'm going to go with my brother's original theory.
Mm-hmm.
I think you had more of that ductwork blocked than you think. Or that you're admitting to.
No, the other, I couldn't reach the other side and drive safely, or else I probably would have blocked it.
Well, it could be just a coincidence, but it's unusual for a 97 Cherokee to burn out a blower motor.
I thought it was quite resourceful of you, though, Melissa, to dry the clothing that way. It was going to take hours.
Well, thank
you. Said,
you.
Why waste the time?
Oh, and it worked so well.
Yeah, well, you won't do anything stupid like that anymore. Melissa... Don't let this discourage you.
Okay.
You are a creative individual.
Yes. Just keep those ideas coming.
I will keep going.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Great to talk to you. Bye.
I love the show. Bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Scott from Antioch, California.
Hi, Scott.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Well, we're great, man. What's up?
I've got a 93 Volkswagen Eurovan, and it's been making a squealing noise off and on for about the past year. And it's a manual transmission. I think it's the throwout bearing. It makes a noise that kind of goes like this.
Wait, does it make this noise when your foot is on the clutch or off?
Only when my foot is off, so when the clutch is engaged. And it usually does this at a cold start, and then it goes away after about the first mile or two. In the last month or so, it's been changing where it hasn't made that noise the first mile or two, but it starts like 3 to 4 miles out and then goes for a mile or two.
It's not the throwout bearing.
Well, it could be.
Unlikely.
When it's making the noise, you say your foot is off the clutch.
That's right. It's engaged, so it's I'm driving, moving.
You're driving. You hear this noise.
Right.
And when does it go away?
Yeah, it goes away after about a mile or two.
But you can make it go away by stepping on the clutch, too.
Yeah, you can hear it, like, spinning down, and it goes away.
Spinning down, huh? All right. How important is it for you to have an answer?
Right now.
Either right now, or that isn't painful.
Well, what I'm really after is I've talked to the local shop that I take it to, Werner there, and he says it's the throwout bearing, and you can let it go until you either start having trouble with the clutch or until you just can't stand the noise. It's continuous.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Werner that it, in fact, is the throwout bearing.
I don't agree with Werner.
I knew that. And
I think when you do need a clutch and you go replace all that stuff, you're going to still have the noise because I think it's the front shaft of the transmission.
Oh, that would be ugly. That would be ugly. But I think on this car, this has a self-adjusting clutch. And this bearing is always making contact with the fingers on the pressure plate. And that's why when you start the engine cold, that bearing is just dry and it's sticky. And when you first start the thing and that bearing spins, it's making the noise until it finally loosens up. Everything heats up a little bit.
But why does it go away if he steps on the clutch?
Well, because when you load it up, it'll often go away.
I don't like it.
I know you don't like it. And that's the reason I like it so much, that my brother doesn't like it. But I agree with Werner, and I trust your guy has checked the transmission oil level.
Yeah.
And it's full.
Yeah, that's good.
I would drive it. The only downside of waiting is that it's apt to break sometime when you're out in the middle of nowhere.
What kind of warning am I going to get before it craters?
None.
None.
You'll
absolutely
get no warning, and I would, but I don't know.
You'll step on the clutch someday, and you will not be able to shift it. But
okay.
if you think you can drive it without the clutch, well, you can. I mean, it's possible to put it in gear, you know, and step on the clutch, and which really doesn't work.
Is it pretty flat there in Antioch?
No. I go up to, like, to the Sierras and stuff like that with it.
No, that would be very bad.
Well, if you broke it when you were up there, it would be all right.
Yeah. I would do that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It depends how risk-averse you are. And if you're risk-averse, then I would say go ahead and fix it tomorrow. Otherwise, if you're looking for a little adventure in your life, which you clearly are because you're driving a Eurovan.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I would say drive it till it breaks.
That's what I would do.
See you, Scott.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, it's Nancy from St. Paul.
Hi, Nancy.
Nancy.
Hi.
Long time no see.
I know. You never write.
Don't know how.
Yeah, I know.
Right now, St. Paul is right next to Minneapolis, is it not?
Yes.
You wouldn't happen to know my friend Wallace Block. Would you? no, all right, never mind.
No,
he gets right. Lonely, you know, and I have to mention his name once in a while.
Yeah, I understand.
What's up?
Okay, here's the deal. I've got this little cute Miata that I only drive in the summertime. And in the winter, I put it in the garage, and I put the top up, and I cover it with a little Miata cozy with little ball fringe and little Dutch girls around the edge.
Miata cozy, I love it.
Isn't that cute?
So what happened is this year it was really, really warm until late, like after Thanksgiving, and so I was driving around and didn't get around to putting the top up and the cozy on until like after Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to put the top up, and I can't get it up all the way.
Because it's cold.
Yeah, so I don't know what I can do to get the top to click.
Got a hair dryer?
Got a hair dryer, yeah.
Take it with you to the garage.
Uh-huh.
Heat up the top.
It's a bigger top than the hairdryer.
Yeah, I know, but you want to just heat up any part of the top.
Okay.
The reason it won't close is because the plastic that the top is made out of is stiff.
Yeah.
Because it's cold.
Is there a tannorama near your house?
Oh, quit.
You know, one of those tanning beds.
You can drive right in.
Yeah, but I have to drive with the top down.
Oh, you know, all you have to do is somehow...
You know, you have to go to the Mall of America.
Oh, yeah,
do they have an
right.
indoor parking facility that's heated? A fancy hotel.
A fancy hotel. Okay.
Ah.
Yeah, I like that.
Is there one nearby?
Yeah, but see, I can't drive it there.
Why not?
I would get frostbite.
Well, you don't have far to go.
Well, I don't know.
Will think you're such a daring do. They'll say, look at that, Nancy. Isn't she a
isn't
wacko?
Isn't she a nut?
I know, I'm real sensitive.
No, as long as there's no snow in the ground, you can pick a day when the roads have been cleaned.
Okay.
You blast out of your parking space with this thing. You drive to a nice heated hotel garage.
Yeah. You only have to be there for an hour. You go into the little tea room.
You
that
go to
they
the
have.
Russian tea room,
and you have some tea and crumpets.
I like it.
And when you go back downstairs to the parking garage, you'll pull up the top, and it'll close just as neatly as can be.
Okay.
And if you don't want to do that, get the hair dryer, and the hair dryer will do it.
Right.
Too.
And by
it.
June, it'll be warm enough for it to go up. See you, Nancy.
Yeah. Okay.
See you later, kid.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've evaporated. Another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
I liked Wasted. Wasted was pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
No fooling around.
Evaporated.
And that's
vaporized.
Exactly what you did. You wasted another hour.
You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, bongo boy, frogman Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David, the Calves of Belleville Green. Huh. Our senior web lackey is Doug, the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our production assistant is Aaron Wax. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Beacon Hill Lemon Dill Peppermill Fresh Roadkill Mixed Meat Grill Java Chill Diet Pill and Metamucil Eat Your Fill Double Bill is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Claudio Vernight. Our windshield wiper replacement team is Ike and Zeke Learley. Our rollerblading instructor is Landon McKeister. Our day-old seafood chef is Amelia Luce. Our state secrets keeper is Lucinda Tongue. Our cigar smoke monitor is Anna Paulina Roma. Our alignment expert is Lou Segusi. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And, of course, the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the old red brick aficionados in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember this. Don't drive like my brother.
Remember this?
Yes.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 907, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK. Or by going to the Shameless Commerce division of our website, cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, a topic on which many would say I'm one of the nation's leading experts.
Oh, beard-based food storage?
No, how to keep your car running forever.
I suppose so. These days, a lot of folks are planning to hold on to their cars an extra year or two.
Or 10.
So we've written up our best advice on keeping your car running long-term.
Rule number one. Never let my brother work on it.
Or let my brother live in it.
How to keep your car running forever. Our best advice available all week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though tattoo parlors report a steep drop in sales of I Heart NPR tattoos, whenever we say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.